This is the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast. It's the 28th of August, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank, the Hat Podcast, brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller are here with the news, including what's new in research at Beck's Hybrids and details on an invasive pest that affects Indiana's woodlands. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says more hot and humid weather today, but maybe not as intense as yesterday. And yesterday's ag markets all gained some ground. Carl Setzer explains why on the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader,
Carl Jorn,
and Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana. Talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
The latest research from this year's Becknology Days and why you should be on the lookout for the Asian longhorn beetle. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Beck's Hybrids hosted their annual Becknology Days over the weekend at their headquarters in Hamilton County, and our Eric Pfeiffer was there.
Thanks, CJ. It was a great day, not just because of the free lunch and the ice cream. Always on display at Becknology Days is their PFR, Practical Farm Research. This year, Beck's Director of Research, Agronomy, and PFR, Jim Schwartz, also showed us their root reveal research that's working to classify the root structure and volume of each of their corn hybrids.
If I could understand how architecture might impact three things, populations, stress tolerance, and then my nitrogen placement, could I de-risk some of this for the farmer? In other words, we've had so many times over the years where we'll sell a hybrid to a farmer, it doesn't work. We're like, well, why didn't it work? What happened? And we believe we might learn a little bit more from the architecture, studying the architecture of the plant and its roots.
Schwartz says that studies from the University of Illinois have shown that root volume impacts corn yield by as much as 50 bushels per acre, depending on the soil fertility systems. Penn State University has also done a lot of research in this area.
They believe that more vertical roots will perform better in stressful environments, low moisture environments, and maybe even low nitrogen environments. And our data tends to support that. So if I'm under moisture stress and the architecture of my hybrid is such that it grows more horizontally across the top of the soil, it's not following the moisture line as it moves down through the soil, as well as a vertically rooted hybrid. And so, yeah, we believe that understanding how the hybrids are growing underground could unlock some of the mysteries that we've not really understood up to this point.
Schwartz emphasizes that there are no bad roots. The roots just need to match your farm and your farming practices. Head to HoosierAgToday.com right now to watch a video of the root reveal that I captured over the weekend and to hear my full interview with Schwartz. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
Well, if you're an Indiana woodland owner, you should be on the lookout for an invasive insect called the Asian longhorn beetle that could cause major damage to your trees.
This is one of those insects that we kind of wish didn't exist, so we very tightly control and act on them as soon as we find them.
And that's Bob Bruner, exotic forest pest educator with Purdue University's Department of Entomology.
The damage that it does is so intense that it's actually fatal to most trees. What they do is they bore into the tree and they go past the bark deep into the wood where they'll consume a lot of the tissues and damage a lot of the tissues therein. And unfortunately, trees just can't survive the level of damage they do. Eventually, you'll see the limbs die back, the leaves fall off, and the tree will eventually become brittle and won't stay standing very well. So the trees themselves become dangerous too.
And unlike the emerald ash borer that killed millions of ash trees across Indiana and the Midwest, the Asian longhorn beetle can cause damage to many different species of trees.
Ones that we would be looking out for here in Indiana, it's going to include ash as well, but you'll also be looking at birch, elm, hackberry, horse chestnut, maple, and I believe poplar and willow are also in that list. So those are lots of trees that people really like. They're planted either ornamentally or they're planted for timber purposes. So you can see that there's a lot of potential for damage to areas where people have a lot of investment in.
Bruner says the pests are easy to identify.
You're going to be looking for a kind of largish beetle that's going to be shiny black with white dots on its body. Now, there are a couple of beetles that look like that. One of them is called a pine sawyer, but what you're looking for here is a beetle that's going to be so shiny black it'll almost have a blue sheen to it, and it'll have very, very long antennae that stretch much farther past the length of its body. You can also look in the trees that it's around, and if you can find a circular hole in the tree that's about big enough to put a number two pencil in, that's going to be a sign the Asian longhorn beetle has emerged from that tree, and it's a good time to start looking closer for the bug itself.
He says if you see the Asian longhorn beetle in your woodlands, to call Indiana DNR right away.
And they can do that by calling 1-866-NO-EXOTIC. This is one of the most tightly regulated insects amongst tree pests. You can actually look up on the USDA's website for them, and they map out areas where infestations are known and what they are doing about those infestations.
Read more about the efforts to stop the spread of the Asian longhorn beetle at HoosierAgToday.com. and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper, because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmers' stories at FCMA.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
The Midwest Weed Control Field Day is coming to Purdue's Miggs Horticulture Research Farm on Wednesday, September 11th in Lafayette, Indiana. Hear from experts on weeding tools of all scales, watch field demos, and make connections with other farmers, companies, and suppliers. For more information about the Midwest Mechanical Weed Control Field Day, call Crystal at 217-840-2128 or visit online and search Midwest Mechanical at thelandconnection.org. That's thelandconnection.org for the Midwest Weed Control Field Day.
More heat and humidity in the forecast here today, but we may not be quite as severe as yesterday. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin. Recipe is the same. We've got high daytime temperatures. We've got high humidity. You're putting them together, and the heat indexes will be pushing triple digits again. However, if we want to split hairs just a little bit, I don't think we get to quite as high of an ambient air temperature as yesterday. I think we're just past the zenith of this heat dome. That's not to say that we don't still have very high heat indexes and it feels awful, but I think the other thing that we're going to see here is the heat-based instability is enough that we probably see additional on and off shower and thunderstorm activity such that maybe we don't pick up quite as much sun through the day as we're fighting around some of these thunderstorms. So that's the thing. Heat-based thunderstorms will be with us through today, through tomorrow. Frontal boundary finally comes through later Friday, midday and afternoon. Still from today, Wednesday through Friday evening, I think you have to pencil in at least another 1/2 to 1.5 inches of rain in areas where we see moisture. Coverage will end up being about 75% to 80%, but then we see a significant change in the pattern as we get behind the front to go into the weekend. So yes, heat and humidity, big stories still today, tomorrow, even on Friday. I think the only reason that the heat's coming down a little bit is the fact that we have more clouds and more moisture around over these days coming up. We see a big change with drier air, low humidity trying to come in right away Saturday. Temperatures pulling back off of these massive highs. I don't think we're going to be cold, but we're going to be pleasant for sure. And we're looking at those weather conditions through the Labor Day holiday weekend. Next week, we continue to see fully dry air in here, low humidity for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Temperatures starting to ramp up later in the week, Thursday, Friday. I think heat is going to try and come back. Probably not to this extreme, but it is going to warm up significantly. With the warmer air, we probably see humidity values creep up a little bit as well. But I am not looking for any rain through the weekend of the 7th and 8th. So, yeah, the moisture that we're going to be picking up here today, tomorrow, Friday, and even what we saw in spots back into yesterday, that's going to have to last us all the way through next week. So a lot of you were talking about needing a rain and still are talking about needing a rain. I think we're right back in the same position next week as we lose this moisture pretty quick. We just don't get enough to fix our current situation, and then we have another longer-term dry stretch that settles in. So just be aware. As I look at your forecast update, I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig. Gains across the board, corn, soybeans, wheat, and the livestock markets. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Farm Market Review. I'll have numbers from the end of trade coming up. We'll begin with market analysis to find out what happened. And I got that analysis from Carl Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting, right near the end of trade. Carl, corn, soybeans, wheat, all higher. Livestock market strong as well on Tuesday. So a turnaround in the grains, probably due for a short covering rally. Is that what you saw?
Yeah, we saw a lot of technical support in today's trade, especially in wheat and soybeans, key reversals, both of those contracts. December corn trying to work on a key reversal to the upside. So the good technical trading day. And really, it's a lot of month-end positioning starting to take place. But we also have to remember it's the end of the old crop marketing year, and we're starting to see some shifting of positions for that. Trade also getting some fundamental support here from yesterday's crop ratings that came out. While we only had a minimal decline to both corn and soybean ratings, we need to look at some other factors taking place with the heat. And this is what jumped out at me and what trade is looking here a little bit today. 16% of the U.S. corn crop still in the dough stage. 11% of the soybean crop still needs to set pods. And with the extreme heat that hit the Corn Belt in the last 24 to 48 hours here, and is still affecting several areas of production, including Michigan and Indiana today, a little bit of concern over them later developing crops, a little bit too much stress at this time of the year, and thoughts we could see further declines in ratings. That caused some of the buying to take place today, as well as another flash sale on corn today. Mexico in taking 128,000 metric tons. Soybean sales slowing down a little bit, but that's not too surprising given the strength we've seen in that market here in the past 7 days.
Unless you've seen an update that would suggest otherwise, the last I saw was extended forecasts moderating. So would that suggest that possibly gains from the crop rating decline might be short-lived?
I would be a little bit concerned if we think we're going to build a long-standing rally off the rating declines. I don't see that happening. But if we see declines next week and the week after, then we start to see it. That's a little bit more of a mind change. It's going to take more than 1 week, but what this does show us is that traders with the size of the short positions they already have are concerned with carrying that into the remaining of the crop production season.
Also in the soy complex, meal and oil have been supportive so far this week, although we saw a little bit of a dip in soy futures after about the middle of trade as soy oil went lower. Connection?
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of back and forth in that complex, and really we're starting to see meal and oil start to push us back and forth a little bit. Argentina coming out and not really making huge exports of either one of the products. And trade was maybe thinking we would see a little bit more pressure and competition from Argentina. But we have to remember, they totally emptied their reserves last year of meal, oil, and soybeans. It takes a while to get them stocks built back up. A lot of weather stress already being noted as the corn planting season gets underway in South America. And there's some concern over what that could mean for soybeans and possibly pressure Argentina again. So that's bringing a little more buying interest to the meal and the oil. To see soy oil backing off a little bit today, not that surprising when we look across the aisle and see that crude oil is down close to $2 a barrel going into the close.
Carl Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting, 989-506-1587, his number. On the Hat Tuesday Market Review, everything up about a nickel or better. September corn, 5 1/4 higher, 367 1/4. December, 392 3/4, up 6 1/4. And March, up 6 1/4 at 411 1/2. November beans, 986 1/2, 1 3/4 higher. January, up 1 1/4 at 1003 1/2. And December wheat, 535 1/2, a gain of 1.5 cents. The meats, strong too. October live cattle, 179.40, up 242. October lean hogs, $1.67 higher, settling at 82.07. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.